When did you and Colton Smith start roping?
Killeen was our first one.
How's that been, man?
Man, it's crazy.
That guy, his horses, I love how he uses his horses and how, I mean, there's a lot of gain.
Yeah.
They're fast
There's
footed.
no downtime.
Yeah, like.
They're moving. They got, he kind of, he creates that efficient run. Like,
Right.
you can run them a little further, still shave time.
Yeah, because everything just it gets so snappy,
Yeah,
right?
there's, you don't have much time to hang out. You got to be on it.
So what's that like as far as a heeler going when you're roping with headers that reach and kind of like it gets a little bit slow? Like it's not slow, but a lot of rope out there, and I mean, compared to a header that he runs closer, gets them tighter. I mean, it's when I say closer, it's not that much closer, but they're hitting and moving fast. How does it change it up how you ride?
Man, honestly, I don't have to be near as perfect on like the guys that run closer and they set it up sharper. The steers move out the front faster. So I mean, this is layman's terms, but when Schmidt ropes, I can pretty much just rein in and throw.
Right.
Like, if I'm anywhere close to the cow, I can literally just push through the corner and set it down. As soon as the hips go away from me, there go. There, your green light.
Yeah, because there's no dead time. Head rope hits, head starts to move, and all the momentum's going in the right spot. It's all moving away from you, so you can use that. And then when you heel, it's like you got a big separation too,
Yeah.
because the steers really open up, right? Big
Right.
finish.
Yeah, and like the reachers, the steers don't, they don't go away as fast. You know, there's a lot of guys that do it well, and but a heeler's definitely got to be paying attention. It's not so much about being ready to rope sooner. It's keeping your spacing.
Right.
It's keeping your separation. That's huge, and that's where I had the biggest problem behind a lot of reachers.
Do you think that's the hardest thing about heeling is like riding position, and knowing when to enter the corner?
Yeah. When I first came on the scene, all I wanted to do was rope, right?
Right.
I just wanted to turn in and throw at the feet. That's kind of what I thought heeling was. But I kind of had to reboot and figure out how to ride my horse and ride a better position. Man, that stuff made it a little less fun. Like, I kind of had to realize that I was getting too close, and when you take an extra swing, that's all just seconds off the clock.
Right.
You know, so once you start taking extra swings, then what the ground they made up region, you just gave right back.
Yeah, keeping everything kind of where it's out in front of you and you're riding to a spot.
Yeah, it's huge.
When you're practicing, what do you think about those times where, you obviously heel good and you're coming onto the scene, right?
Right.
But there's times where we got to take a step back and
For sure.
like evaluate, right? How do you try to balance working at your game but not tearing it down too much?
Man, I'm probably a funny one to ask about that. I spend almost all of my time like trying to slow it down, 'cause like I get to where like I set it up. I can even set it up just okay in a run, and when I'm going to throw, I almost know I'm gonna catch if I'm in time and all that. Like, all my fundamentals have been there for years. Like, I'm so confident in my throw that I've got a pretty good idea that I'm gonna catch. So if I get like out of whack or something, I don't really go work on it too much as far as trying to be sharper and work on one little thing. I try to just dumb it down and just slow it way down and just go back to opening everything up, and then I really focus on like position. If
Right.
I'm riding my horse, then my roping should take care of itself.
Yeah, get everything where it's like soft and has a like a feel.
Yeah, forgiving. You
Yeah.
know, one size fits all is the words I always use. Like, I try to find just a happy medium position where if the steer does one thing, I can still react that way, but I can still react the other way if he does the opposite, you know.
And healing too, do you think them like by going slow, practicing a lot, and does that add just a lot? Like having feel and being able to control each maybe like the movements a little easier. Do you think that's a key component how a lot of guys practice now?
Yeah, I think it seems like a lot of guys try to get too sharp in my mind.
Right.
And where I've realized from my travels is, you know, you're going to catch a lot of the steers that you're not going to place on. You're going to blast them, right? And you're going to maybe win the last couple holes. But the lopers where it really counts. And yeah. Those are the steers that you really got to slow down on, just go catch. You know, just like Colleen the other night, we had, I mean, a great steer. Almost all of them were good speed-wise. And he was supposed to come right, and I was just trying to hold him up, just to hold him straight. And Schmidt did a good job, broke down the middle. And all I could think about was spacing and staying away, just because I knew where the steer was going to hit, and it was just going to be pretty dead because the steer was going slow.
Yeah.
Like, and I just knew that if I got too aggressive right there and, like, really got on the muscle, I was going to be too close and I had to take another swing. And then you go from, which I sucked dallying, but you go from being about, should have been 4.5, 4.6 to being 4.8, missing a wrap. Or then you take another swing, then you go 4.95 flat, or five, I don't know, 5.52. Would that win that place?
Yeah, I don't know, but I do know there's a lot of times where if you're in the middle holes, like winning wise, mm-hmm. if you can make up 2 or 3 tenths one yeah. way or a half second, mm-hmm. is usually a big difference.
Oh, huge.
And
huge.
But that's like, to me, healing, it's almost like a death sentence if you pull. If your healer has, he gets too, like, so you've rode through the turn and you're getting to your spot and you get mm-hmm. too close, or you're covering him up in the turn.
Right.
It's so hard to heal him after that, or it's just awkward. You know, you're healing him yeah. going away. Yeah. You know, you miss dallies. A lot of things go really bad.
Right.
But going slow, like I hear that a lot, as we like do more and more video shoots with like younger guys, like Peyton, mm-hmm. right, the other day he was talking about that, like a lot of the times he'll just come back, slow it down, and it makes, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, man, on the good horses it mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense, because you're just adding feel. Right. And then the other thing that's really hard to do too is when we're competing, right, we're chasing, you right. know, and so you clear the box, and I mean it's different because I'm always heading, but
well, you know, your mental clock and all that's running, and yeah. it's probably running double time in competition, honestly. But I think so many of us grew up roping, like, and we always, you know, roped the dummies. And you see little kids now, they run around with a rope in their hand all day. Well, we always practice blasting them and going fast, you know. So I think that's the biggest thing now, is slowing down where you catch the good steers that are worth the real money.
Yeah.
You know, not fouling up an easy chance. Like, there's a lot of steers that you're going to run over the course of the year that are going to give you a chance at money.
Yeah.
You know, and those are the ones I feel like that are the hardest.
Yeah. I mean, how many times do we go to Cody, Wyoming, and there'll be, if there's half enough, usually mm-hmm. 100 teamer, so there's 50 mm-hmm. steers, there's two steers in there that just lope.
Oh, yeah. They're going to give guys money.
Yeah. And you look at it in the times, it might be like 4.5 is mm-hmm. second and 4.0 is first. Mm-hmm. And so you've got a real good steer with right. a lot of time you to win first, and it's like an easy $5,000 mm-hmm. or $7,000 or whatever, you know, whatever it pays to right. win Cody or a rodeo similar to that. Right. So practicing, has there been times where you like get advice? Like, for example, we're always trying to improve our, mm-hmm. our game, and you get advice, but there's times where it's like good advice and it makes sense, but it's hard to work on. Like, you know, it almost right. like you struggle when you work on it. Do you have you had those moments roping, or how do you try to do that? Like, if you're getting advice from a guy that you really mm-hmm. respect, that's a professional, that mm-hmm. kind of has watched you compete, and then you want to work on something that he might mention
right.
that you need, how do you try to go about that without stepping back?
Well, I'm super analytical right. in my head. Like, I may not put it out there in the practice pen, but I've dang sure set it up in my head, and I'll run 100 steers in my head before I go rope, you know, and I can kind of see if it's going to work for me, if it's going to not, or where it might be tough. But, you know, I always try to apply it like sharp right away, exactly what they're talking about. And then I'll try to kind of blend it,
yeah,
you know, and see what works. I usually do it on like on a practice horse or yeah. something, and just some medium steers. I'm not going to just go try to change something on some sharp steers that are tough to rope.
Man, I love that, because it's real, like, you get the feel of what it's like mm-hmm. for them, mm-hmm. and then you blend it with the feel of how you do things. Mm-hmm. Because when you're trying to do something, there's the spot in our performance where our conscious mind can do things, but mm-hmm. we really need our subconscious. Like, it needs to be like an instinct, right? Right. And so you kind of got to let that take over. So
I'm huge on that. Like, I don't know how everybody else is, but it seems like I don't really have much thought process when the gates bang at the rodeo. Like,
yeah.
It's all reaction. You know, I know where I'm at going down the arena, and by the time the steer hits, it's all fade to black.
Right.
That's all. I'm going to let everything I've done all the way up until this point over my whole career, you know, that's going to dictate whether I catch or not, it seems like.
Yeah.
So I've got all the muscle memory and the confidence. I usually don't really worry about that kind of stuff. As long as I keep my spacing through the corner, I don't get too worried about it.
Right. I think that's the biggest difference I notice between when I head and heel is heading, I can kind of get everything ready in the box. Like, I kind of have my, how I want to do it. Then it's like, as I'm getting my horse on the corner and he feels like he's in score, we're focused on mm-hmm. the score. And then really after that, it's as soon as you release, you're going. Heeling, there's a little time, not much, but there's like, as the gate's kind of clear, you can set up your position and kind of think through that. And really after, but as soon as the turn starts, as soon as that head rub's mm-hmm. going on them, it's very reactive to me, right?
Instincts, reaction, you know, there's, like I said, you kind of have a little bit of time to set it up. You know, if you need to change something in the run, you have to do it now, you know. And then it'll all fall together after that. But one little adjustment can be the difference in, like you said, Cody Wyoming going 4.5 or 4.0.
Right. So do you struggle with confidence at all? How do you deal with that?
Man, I might be a lot different than everybody, but like, I've got a couple guys that live at the house that I always talk to them. I'm like, you've accomplished a lot getting here, you know, getting all the way to where we are right now.
Right.
And so that's kind of where I leave my confidence level. It's like, I've built it to what I am now, and I find my confidence and I recreate my confidence on every run off of that. You know, if I have a bad day or a bad weekend, you know, this last weekend I burned the crap out of my hands and couldn't dally and it was bad. But like, I feel like I didn't have an issue for the last few years coming into it. So I was like, well, you know, maybe I tweak one or two things, but it doesn't really hurt my confidence. You know, I'm not worried about it. It doesn't tear me down.
Right.
So like, and I think over the summer, we don't get to practice a whole lot. That's kind of where I started that theory. It's like, I just leave it into what I've done, what I've accomplished, and I've put in the work, done the practice, you know, everything feels good. It's simple, you know. So a couple bad days or a few bad steers or even a bad year, bad summer, whatever, I really try hard to just remember what I've done and stay hooked that way. You know, it's easier because those are hard facts. You know, that's the past. That's what's been done. You know, it's hard to be confident off of just the recent past, you know, but if you stack that recent past against what's built up to it, it really not even a ripple, you know?
Yeah. And confidence is one of those things. It's like, you can be confident and struggle mm-hmm. and you could be winning and not confident.
Absolutely.
It's a choice that you have. Mm-hmm. Now, if you get too result oriented,
oh man,
it can get
huge.
It can get bad fast.
Yeah.
So like, dealing with slumps, rodeoing, things like that, like mm-hmm. it happens, mm-hmm. right? How do you try to get out of slumps?
Man, that's a tough one. I try to keep it light. You know, I don't like to break it down and get too invested in it as far as conversation about, you know, every steer, because that's what happens. You start breaking it down into every steer. And I just, like, coming out, trying to keep from making those mistakes again, I try to keep it real, real simple as far as mechanics. Like, I don't think it's all strung together. I think there's some bad luck that's happened, you know, or because no two steers are the same. You know that.
Right.
So I'll look at the mechanics of it. What happened to create that? What did we do to create that outcome? And if it's chalked up to the steer, then I don't let it affect my confidence or anything going into the, like that kind of side of it. So as long as I keep the mechanics broke down, I don't feel like it's hard to say that I don't get in a slump because everyone gets in slumps, but I don't let myself kind of think that it's a slump.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's always something you can tweak to get out of it. Or if you're, this is what I always kind of say, I laugh and just say, you know what we need to do? We need to draw better.
Right.
That's kind of where I start. I'm like, if we're messing up the lopers every time, you know, that maybe qualifies as a slump, but then we know it's a mechanics thing. We can just slow it down and go back to the basics. We've done this. We've team roped for forever. We know how to complete the course. So I think if you just slow it down right there, just go back to catching the loper, then everything kind of starts building.
And when you say focus on your mechanics, is that something you start with in the box? Like, do you have like a similar thought process that you try to just duplicate each time you run in the box, or kind of that game plan? Or how do you manage your like emotions, or how do you manage your mind? How do you manage your mind in the box?
Man, I used to not be very good at this. Right. I used to back in the box coming through high school, I headed all the way up until high school. And then coming through high school, I struggled with a little bit of confidence because it was new to me.
Yeah. You know,
and I learned how to rope the feet a long time ago when I was a kid, branding calves and all that. But then it became a riding thing and riding position. So like the confidence started to build the more I went into it. But like when I'm back in the box, it's the same kind of deal. Like I know what I've done coming to it. And I know if I get a decent enough start, I know I'm riding good horses. You know, I know that all I got to do is get to the cow, keep my spacing in the corner and rope.
Right.
Like I try to keep it so simple to where nothing else really gets in.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's easy to let other things come in, or like, I mean, it can snowball really fast and get out of control is how I feel like it goes. Mm-hmm. Talking about these good horses, you like to, how old are you now?
I'm 25.
25, grew up in California, right?
Yep.
And you've been coming out to Texas for the winter?
I was 18 or 19.
Did you buy a place over here?
No, I don't own the place. I moved out to a place.
So. Okay. Mm-hmm. So do you train a lot of your own horses, or how do you try to put your heel horses together?
Man, we've gotten lucky. We've raised them, and it's been a long, drawn-out process. But I took my good bae, Max, I took him to college, and I didn't really plan on rodeoing. I had a good roan, a red roan that I rode for a while, and he's one of those really athletic, strong, flashy types, like real broke.
Right.
And he's got a lot of buttons, but he got hard to ride. And I had this little kind of spindly leg bay that, you know, wasn't really much, but I'd run a lot of steers. I'm afraid to admit how many steers I used to run on him in a day. But I used to run a lot of steers on him, and I try to keep it so simple in my head. Like, I literally one day was like, man, I ride this horse all day, and I rope a lot of steers. And I run six on this other horse, and it's a battle to just ride him perfect. You know, he does a lot of cool stuff. He'll slide around the corner and just lay on the heel rope and finish fast, whatever. But it's hard to recreate that, you know, especially on a stronger steer.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I've run a lot of steers, and I haven't missed on this little bay. You know, he's just trying his butt off all day long. And to him, running that many steers is literally like nothing. He just thinks that's the day.
Right.
And he's easy. You know, put your hand down and just kick around there and rope. And then I kind of started to move towards him because I realized that I caught more steers on him.
Right.
And this game is catching steers. So that's kind of how I started doing it. And then I watched a lot of the greats. You know, you see them at every jackpot out here. And you start to put together what you think your horse isn't doing that he could be doing. And then you can work on that on the dummy and steers and stuff. And then I brought in another bay, and just kind of started over just like that. I made him my practice horse, and I ran a lot of steers on him and got him. He's real talented, this other bay. He's a freak in nature. But I could see him getting, like, the other horse real strong and a lot of buttons, so I tried to really keep it simple on him.
Right.
Yeah, I kind of wouldn't let him. I didn't want him to get hard to ride. I wanted him to be easy. So I just literally kept it simple, just staying out wide and pushing through the corner, never letting him stop too hard. And then that kind of became our run.
Do you think, like, horses that are winners, they make it, like, it's easy, you know? Mm-hmm. They don't make it complicated.
I was just talking to Peyton about this at the roping yesterday. Peyton's like, man, it seems like there's a lot of good horses nowadays. And him, I was like, I wonder, do you think it's because guys started making them easy? Because, you know, there's a lot of guys that make really nice horses that are so broke and they spin and slide, but they're so touchy and there's so many buttons that you can foul up a run pretty easy. But Peyton and I were just talking about how it seems like every horse is so solid now. I think Corky was riding a young yellow horse yesterday, and I mean, I'm in the open. I'm riding my good horse, and Corky's, it looks like it's a Sunday for him, and he's just running around. I think that horse maybe 5 or something like that, and looks flawless and just so easy and so controlled. And that's kind of where I was like, you know, it seems like they're making them easy to win on now. Like, there's not so much buttons and cool stuff as far as now. They literally run around the corner, head up, butt down. Saddle horn never moves. Feet are right there.
Right.
Like, never take your throw away. Seems like there's a lot of horses like that now.
Well, and that's the thing is, they don't have to be violent, right? Like, right. They don't have to have this violent stop or these buttons, and they just, like, give you everything they got. It's like, you want them to be fast and be able to get you to the spot. But then there's a lot of times, and I'm a huge believer in this, but I think, to win roping, especially heeling, to get through a roping, if you run 4 or 5 steers with one partner, there's typically 1 or 2 steers in there that were really tough.
Right.
You know, they're tough steers to get by. Mm-hmm. And if you got a horse that will let you go an extra swing or let you...
Huge.
Yeah, kind of, you might have to compromise something. Like, you might not ideally, like, well, me, I might want to crawl out over them a little bit or something, you know, right. And you can, they just... You're like, wow, when I barely got that one. But you get you when you say that, you're like, well, I do that a lot on them. And then those start adding up into wins. And you're like,
exactly.
You kind of get through the roping. And I think it's the same way with head horses, too. They, like, if you tell me, well, what's better, like a medium speed head horse that scores really good, that's just flat to the steer, or one that can just run a hole through the wind that you gotta, like, he's just going as hard as he can and just giving it everything he's got. And he almost gets in your way at times because he's trying so hard.
Right.
Like, well, what one are you going to win the most on? You know, there's times where you get that fast horse, like BFI, right in there, you know. But there's going to be other times where you're going to draw that loper and you could reach and go at him on this flat horse. You know, this horse is a little flatter. And I think that's where we start. I think there's been a big gap in what people, they think they need something with their horses and they want all those buttons.
That's the horse market, man, you know.
Yeah. What do you think makes a great heeler?
Oh gosh. What makes a great heeler? I don't, you know, that's a loaded question, because I feel like there's a lot of great heelers that built themselves as they already were, like, real mature when they started healing, let's say.
Right.
You know, like, I think Patrick started a little later in life, but he is, like, he's a prime example of taking the fundamentals to an extreme. Like, this guy, he's ice cold. He's no mistakes. And he's going to win on the steers you're going to win on.
Right. You know?
He knows that as good as anybody. And where I, like, I think about my healing, I never got to build it like that, but I learned how to handle my rope. Excuse me. I never got to build my healing after I had, like, a real thought process. I literally learned how to rope just with a piece of baling twine roping my dad's foot, you know, going through the house, and then roping goats for my granddad or branding calves.
Right.
And I never learned how to like ride perfect or swing perfect or nothing like that. It was harder for me to learn all like the solid fundamentals than it was to learn how to catch. You know, I felt like I knew how to catch the feet when I got to Chad's when I was 18 or 19. And then I looked at all these guys that rode so perfect, and you know, they swung so perfect. They never took a chance. They never took any risk. That's been my biggest deal lately, is risk. You know, right, trying to manage that. But those guys take no risk, and they ride so perfect that, you know, it literally looks like it's so easy, you know. And then I look at my own videos, I'm like, you know, hey, that was cool. But the steer was a coil and a half away, and I burned my hands, and now I'm not going to get my horse close to the next three steers.
Right.
You know, and then these guys, they kick through their horses perfect, easy to win on. And they just look like they were sitting in a recliner and put it down there, and they win the rodeo.
Right. So if you could start back over, that would be the first thing, is fundamentals, studying them and kind of mastering the fundamentals.
I would have hit the dummy on an old campaigner horse and just tried to, I don't know, get my reactions down different. Because I've got, my mental clock probably clicks double as fast as anybody. We can run a steer halfway down the arena, and I'm like, well, we're going to be 10. You know, we're out of it.
Right.
But I started to realize if you set the corner up and all that stuff and you're riding decent horses, you can shut the run down, and it's really not that bad. You
know? Right.
So that's where I lack the discipline to ride the right corner and the right way and swing the right way. I used to just crawl out over them and throw my rope and try to beat my horse to the horn, you know. So that's kind of where I wish I could restart
a little bit. And just mastering the fundamentals. And that's it. It's hard because I don't even know that until, I mean, there's been some guys that have done a great job teaching. Like, you got your Walt Woodards, your Clay Coops, like your older generation, like the guys have been doing it for so long. But it's not something that can be as studied as much as it has been able to the last like 15 years or so.
And it's easy to break down now. You can, with all the slow-mo videos, and everyone's videoing all their runs anymore, to where you can literally slow it down and watch every inch of your swing, you know, or see what your hand's doing. This is what I've been doing, because I've been burning my hands the last few days trying to dally. And breaking it down and watching me move my left hand is basically the adjustment I had to make yesterday at the roping. Just made it on the fly.
Right.
Because I was pulling my slack and moving my hand just a little bit to the left, and it makes my horse move the saddle horn.
Yep.
Bing. I mean, simple. You know, back then, I feel like those guys, it was more of a crapshoot for them. Like, they had to figure it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, they kind of had to, like, trial and error. And really, that's a lot of it, too, is probably the quickest way to improve, because then you could, like you said earlier, you can take the things that someone might do, or they might say, hey, this is what I would try, mm-hmm. or this is what I think.
Right.
And you can apply it to your roping, but you can see how it fits in within your style. Because that is the one thing about roping that is, I mean, I look at it with other sports, like quarterback or like a guy with a jumper. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fundamental things that they still do in like a throwing motion or a shooting motion. But there's a ton that go into it, but there's also, at the end of the day, they're not the same. Like, there's really no two same like throwing motions or similar ones and similar jump shots. But, and it's the same way with roping. So you got to understand, like, hey, bodies are built different. Muscle fibers are different from the word go, like our makeup, how our mind works, how mm-hmm. we, you know, how, like, some guys have a faster swing, some guys have a slower swing. Right. Well, why is that? And there's little variables that you can add to it, but you also got to work within yourself to, it's like you got to master yourself, right? Like,
I even put this towards horses too, but you can try to find the easiest way to get the goal accomplished, you know, whether it be having a good head loop or a good swing or putting it all together even, you know. That's where, you know, just trying to find that's where I struggled a little bit, was trying to find, I tried to match my style to somebody.
Yeah.
early on, you know what I mean? And I literally could do like impressions of a lot of different healers, but not well, but I felt like I could. And that I wish I would have developed my own deal. And that's where I kind of feel like I am now.
Right.
You know, I've kind of got my own deal and it works for me. I wouldn't push it on anybody, but there's no two alike. So if you can find the easiest way for your style to shut the rundown, then I would. I mean, that's how I would go about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just understanding what you do and,
exactly.
And how it feels to you. And I think that's where it's like, we got to keep it where our mind can operate without thinking during the run. So we can
muscle memory.
Yep. That muscle memory can come through. Cause if we're thinking and trying to force it, it's slow or it's choppy feeling or there's black spots in the run where it's like, why can I not throw my rope? Like it feels like I can't throw my rope.
Right.
I want to. That's a death sentence, you know, at the end of the day.
And I've been backwards from a lot of people. I'm usually like, why did I throw there? Like what I pulled the trigger. What am I throwing at? You know, that's where the discipline comes in. I didn't get the discipline growing up as far as my roping goes. And that's where I wish I probably would have went back. Cause there is time. Like yesterday's a prime example. I was roped with Tanner James in the 17 and a half. Sneaks out of the barrier, got the loper. We're 6 flat on the first one. Most of the steers are running and that's a great job. Like that's the steer you're supposed to win on, or at least get ahead in the roping. Yeah. We had a great chance. I'm coming in a little hot in the corner, but I know my horse is trying to get away. He's sitting down. I take it one swing over the back in the corner, can't heal him yet. And then in that last swing, I just put it down and I'm like, whoa, we're too close. And my horse just barely steps on my bottom strand, takes us out of the whole roping, you know, and I'm like, if I'd had the discipline, that's the steer that kind of ate at me the most yesterday. But there's not really an adjustment. It's just knowing that keep it shaped up, maybe keep a little better spacing and don't eat up the loper.
Yeah.
Know? Don't get lapped up because, I mean, that was our chance. We were about to go 5 flat. And next thing you know, we're 11 flat on 2. That gives us a chance that allows us to draw in the middle of the herd and still stay in the roping, you know?
Right. You're basically at the point where you're just 2 catches away from winning.
Just do your job. Yeah.
That is the thing about competition though, that it's like, you almost gotta go, right? Mm-hmm. You gotta go. Cause that's information you really can't get in mm-hmm. the practice pen. Cause your mind has shifted. Like in the practice pen, for example, you might say, hey, I want to run these 4 steers, mm-hmm. but you know the steer, you know, and you kind of already know what you're going to do. Yeah. At a roping, the steers are strong, right? Right. And then you clear the box and you're kind of riding, and mm-hmm. then all of a sudden he's loping and right there and your hitter mm-hmm. has scored really good. Mm-hmm. And so then it's like, okay, these are the little things that they're like necessary evils to go through, right?
Right. I mean, absolutely. You know, when my brother, he kind of gets after me a lot, but even when we're starting on like young horses, I always tell him, he's like, what do you think he needs? He just needs runs. You know, he just needs runs to figure it out. My brother's really good at breaking it down and the fundamentals of everything and going slow. And to me, I'm like, come on, let's go. The horse is 8 years old. Let's get it on the, let's get this show on the road.
Yeah.
You know, so that's probably where I think it's like the two clashes, you know. You got me where I'm like, all I've done is hit the road. You know, I didn't get the fundamentals early on. I had to learn it in the cab of the truck after I just messed up the loper, Cody. It's like, okay, well, we'll get it together. You'll get to run one in Livingston tonight.
Yeah.
Like, figure it out. Let's watch this video. You know, where now I feel like it's a lot different, but where my brother... He's going to be one day where he's just ropes the loper, everything's fine. He's going to catch the one that he's supposed to win on. Then they're going to go win at Livingston. Then they're going to go win at St. Paul. Like it. He broke it down from so early.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I wish I would have.
Well, and it's one of those things too, because it's like healing. Do you feel like you kind of got to decide, or it, I don't know if you decide or it's just like it just naturally happens, like what type of healer you want to be, right? Because there's healers that are aggressive. Like,
oh man,
I know, like, we did the podcast with Hunter Cook last year, but there's got to be times where he's cutting it down at him that it's like, does he know he's going to catch right there? I think the same thing about like Corey Petzka. Mm-hmm. And they obviously know, or it's like, but when in the moment you're like, usually you know when you got them caught, like we said, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And these guys sometimes will heal steers before they've really opened up really clean.
For sure.
And then there's healers that like set it up just a little bit different where they might go an extra jump or...
They set it up a little safer,
Yeah, like, a little...
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, that's tough. Like, I think that the aggressive style, which is what I kind of chose, like I wanted to be the clutch man that threw fast. And there's going to be a lot of times where guys like me are going to mess up. You know, Hunter does a great job. Petzka does a great job. But they set it up that way. And to where they're going to be roping with good enough partners that they know they're going to move the steer out from underneath them. Even if they do get too close in the corner, they're going to put it down because the steer's got to hop. He's got to go somewhere.
Right.
Unless they just, in the unlikely event they jerk the steer down, you know, the steer's got to open up at some point so they can stall it, or Hunter jacks it down in some crazy spots. And I mean, that dude's unreal.
Like, yeah.
That sometimes, you know, it's easy to sit in the haze line and watch somebody jack it down there in a weird spot in a weird position and it works. And you're like, I don't know how he did that.
Yeah.
You know, but then heat of the moment, I've found myself yesterday, Schmidt and I ran one. Kind of strong, kind of got weak in the corner, and I was too close. I was riding like an idiot, and I kind of pulled off, and he moved the steer out in the front, and the steer was still down. I found myself throwing, and I'm like, man, I hope this works.
Right.
And then the steer literally takes the big, slow, long hop, and I put it down, and it's like 8 foot wide and 6 foot tall. Like, it was just crazy. Went up, get him around the belly. It was like, everyone thinks that it looks like I was supposed to catch him. Because, of course, I'm not going to crack a smile. Like, probably shouldn't have caught that one. But I was like, man, I know where the steer's going to go, and I'm on top of him, but I can put it down right here. And if he hops like I think he's going to, we got him, you know. Like, but I really hope he hops.
Yeah. Well, that's it, is you got to decide, like, what type of healer you are. It kind of, like I said, it may be you decide yourself. Mm-hmm. But you got to take calculated risks all the time, right? I mean, that's the thing. The faster you want to throw, when it connects, the more money you're going to win. It's just you're going to be faster, right?
Yeah.
And then the less risk you take and the more steers you catch, you know, you're hoping to balance that out. Yeah. And it's like there's this line you got to ride where it's like having feel for knowing, hey, this is a good risk to take it right here because we're not going to win anything, or being able to go that extra swing.
Yeah, and that was me setting it up bad, you know, in that run. But, like, I think those guys that at the rodeos, they may take the risk with the throw, but they took all the necessary precautions in the corner. You know, they set it up good enough to where it's really not as much of a risk as it looks like.
Yeah, you know? Right, because the risk really is just a timing aspect at this point. Like, it's like, well, and when I say timing, I mean, like, if the steer's jumping up clean, or if he's kind of like washing out and shuffling his feet, or if he's like like getting ready to kind of get him to be healed, or can you kind of get one down as he's like jumping down or jumping up a little bit at a time? But that's
you kind of leave it all up to that.
Yeah,
you know, those guys that ride super aggressive into the corner, myself included, you know, I've always focused on trying to be there when it happens. You know, I wanted to, when the head rope went on, I wanted to be, you know, hair on fire running into the corner.
Right.
That way, when they did take the first or second jump out of there, I could shut the run down.
Yeah.
So, but I also think the guys that set it up better, even though they might not jack it down and it might not look crazy, they're still going to heal in the second jump, and they're probably going to finish just as good or better.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where the clash has been for me.
Right.
But those guys look like they take no risk, and that's where I've been trying to be better. Is not taking so much risk. you know.
Right. Just managing it.
Yeah. Manage the risk, man. That's huge, because there's going to be steers that give you the money where you don't have to take any risk. And if you're mashing the gas still and you didn't recognize that leaving the box, you may foul him up, and you can't afford to, you know, over the course of the summer, you can't afford to miss the Loper or Cody. If you want to make a jump, you're going to have to slow it down and catch that cow.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be, you're going to draw middle of the pin and you're going to run one halfway down the arena and your man's going to bomb and you're going to be there and you heal him fast and you guys finish fast and you're going to win six and it's going to feel like it was a battle, you know, and that's awesome. I'm happy for that. But if you're riding that same way on the Loper, you're probably going to run smooth by him, or you're going to get too close in the corner, just like that jackpot run yesterday I was talking about. Get too close and take that throw. What if it's not there?
Right.
You know, what if he was perfect on the next one, but I've already killed everything off in the corner. I've already slowed my swing down to throw. You know, what if it's not there and he's perfect on the next one? Now you just laid it next to one at Cody, but gosh dang, we caught the one for $600 down the road and it looked crazy, but we sure didn't catch the Loper for $10,000.
Yeah, so it's like, it's being able to manage both runs. Mm. And that's where it's like, I think that's where we go back to horses being real special too, and having like, because if you got,
that helps.
Yeah, if you got a heel horse like that's got a lot of feel when you clear the box and will read the cow and help you and kind of stay mm-hmm. ahead of what the steer's doing, then you've got that.
Yeah.
As you clear the boxes and things are running real fast, they can move with them. But if things aren't and the steer's slow and it's all happening right there quick, you get that nice feel where you're not pulling hard and they just like stay in your hand. You put them where you want and it's like the same thing, but just going slower, you know, slower momentum compared to something that's moving fast.
Yeah, man. Like my good horse makes me laugh sometimes. Like if a steer runs left, he really doesn't want to run around the end of it. Like if a steer runs the wall, St. Angelo's a prime example. Both steers went left. He got just a shade to the inside, but basically he's like, put your rope down, dummy. Keep riding. Don't take a stupid throw right here.
Right.
You know, kicked. We were 10-8 on two, ended up coming back with a good chance for money, you know?
Yeah.
Where if I'd have done what I probably wanted to do, run around the end of it and heal the steer fast, you know, we might not have finished as good, but it was unnecessary risk. It might not have worked. There's a chance that it might not have worked.
Right.
So when he had me just a shade to the inside, we were still pushing into the corner, and I couldn't throw right there. All that steer did was hit and come right back to me, and I threw on the next one, and we got a better finish.
Yeah, got it. A real sure shot, good finish, and then you can make it up
right
in the short round, or you get another chance. Right. Like, you're not done just going for a go-round over there.
Exactly.
I'd
rather go, like, catch him. I'm starting to think this way. I'd rather go catch him and make him come beat us. And give ourselves a chance, then take the risk and live with the consequences.
You know what I mean? Yeah. What about managing your finances? How hard is that?
Huge. Huge. That's so tough. Because I think I always tell, you know, the guys that stay at the house, I'm like, you got to go. You can't sit at home because you minus the fact of not being relevant and not getting the partners, you know, I stepped away from going to all the open ropes for a while. And I think it hurt me, honestly, which I've got to go to the slides and, you know, make good aggressive runs all the time. And a little bit was seizing that younger bay. But at the same time, I just kind of started coming back to the open ropes and I'm like, dang, these guys, there's a tempo here that I was missing. You know, these guys are sharp. And so I think that you got to go, but if you got to slow down and get your financials together, you know, that's obviously great, but that's the battle of it is, you know, you got to go compete, but there's a lot of stuff that you can do, you know, not maybe don't go play golf four times a week, you know, maybe do something else or like trying to keep your finances together. There's so many different ways to do it, and there's even more ways to lose it.
Right. You know? Well, I mean, jackpotting around this area is
tough.
It's like 1,000 every week, I swear, or more. And that's like just an average.
Well, look at this weekend. Yeah. It's going to be huge. You got the Wendy Ryan, you got the Danny Dietz, and then the Roping in Buffalo.
Yeah.
There's 30,000 added. You got to go. Can't afford not to go.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then Open Showdown was the week before. And, you know, there's Jackpot Tuesday. And, yeah, that's just pretty. I guess this is a real good deal. But there's these Ropings that, you, like you said, you got to go mm-hmm. because there's great paying Ropings. Right. And that's what you're doing. You know, you're mm-hmm. roping for a living. But when I, you know, we talk about eliminating expenses and then there's like necessary expenses. So I do think like the 80% paybacks, 150 a man ropings are really, they're a really good roping because it's, they get about 30 teams, you know, anywhere from 20 to 50 teamers around here in the open.
Yeah.
And they're going to pay good. And it's, you know, those ones are, I think those are real good ones to go to. The thing I wonder about is, you know, we've got all these expenses and you've rodeoed hard, right? For
yeah, since I started. I went crazy, you know, when I turned 18, I went and did my time in junior college and I left. I went online, but I left when I was, I was 18 when I bought my permit. And then I filled my permit in California. And then Doyle called me to go to Pendleton my 18-year-old year, which was actually right after I turned 19.
Right.
So from 19 on, man, when I turned 19, I was rolling. And we went hard. And I've went hard every year, it seems like.
So do you try to find ways, like, to get extra cash through selling horses? What do you do to try to kind of put money together when it's, I mean, it's hard to just sit there and say, hey, I'm going to make 100,000 or 50,000 or whatever. You're even break even roping. Right.
Oh, man.
And especially for like healing, you know, it's even, I think it's harder healing because you're starting out and, you know, you got guys that probably rope good, but there's these established runs that headers and healers, and it's just hard to compete against them. Right.
Right.
And then healing, it's hard to get runs.
Right.
And so you're getting less opportunity. So you kind of got to, you know, it's just a longer climb, I think, healing than heading. But I could be wrong with that, but so putting that together, how do you look at that? Like, hey, I need to continue to keep my money together and be able to go and compete. What are mistakes you made and what are some good things that you've had going?
Man, I think this is kind of where I went to backing off of the opens so much. I think that it hurt me, but I think it helped me. It was necessary. I needed to do it, you know, because, man, if it's not working and you got to go back and figure it out. It's so hard. These guys got so many good horses and they're staying sharp and they're hard to beat. And they have, you know, they have the best guys. And going and just getting beat up, you know, we use the term ducking off. So I ducked off and I went to the slides and I could kind of go win at those and put some stuff together. And I disguised it and used the excuse that I was seasoning a horse and stuff. But I think between that and then like I've made halters for a long time and it sounds silly, but I've paid a lot of jackpot fees, you know, and if you can get to the jackpot and then you get to the jackpot and then try to allow yourself a chance to win, you know, stuff can kind of start building back up. You know, it's a gamble. My mom's a banker. I hear this word all the time, the G word. Oh my gosh. My mother, it's a gamble. Well, the whole thing's a gamble.
Yeah.
You know, but it's kind of controlled, you know, you practice so much. So it's really, that takes a little bit of the risk out of it, you know, and you get to where you're sharp, you know, your ability, you know, and then you put it together with a good partner and your partner's got good horses. You got good horses. Then you go and try it on, you know, but until you kind of get that built up, you know, and take the unnecessary expenses out and try to keep pushing and building it better, then you're going to enter quality ropings to where it just takes one hit, you know, to where you're kind of back in the middle of things. And then you hopefully build that into more opportunity to win, you know,
right.
But then that comes back into risk, you know, being the guy being the guy that, sets it up too aggressive, and you can't be doing that.
Well, yeah, and it's really easy to mismanage your risk because at the end of it, when we're talking about it is a gamble, but you're betting on yourself, right? That's
Double down.
yeah, we're doubling down now, but you're betting on your skill, and so that's something that's really it's kind of like it's well, I'd say it's like one of the coolest aspects of roping is it's up to you. And what your skills, what you can do, how you can manage yourself, and it's on you. And so that's a nice, it's a nice thing to know that at the end of the day, hey, I have control of what I want
Oh,
to do.
huge. Yeah. That's where work ethic's huge too, but I think there's a lot to that. Where if you're out there putting in the work, then it doesn't seem like as much risk, It seems like you've controlled your outcome just a little more.
Yeah.
It's not cutting cards. It's not the numbers aren't like that drastic. If you're out there putting in the work and getting sharp, it kind of seems to swing into your favor, and ultimately it's in your hands. You get to make the decisions, whether you catch or miss or stay in the roping or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yep. Let's talk about work ethic. Do you coming into it and starting to get exposed to guys like, early on in your rodeo career, did you feel like you had worked at it hard enough, or were you working at it hard enough?
No, not at all. That's probably, I don't really regret much. I try not to really look back at it that hard.
Yeah.
But there's always room for improvement. And I think that I wish I would have worked at my fundamentals earlier.
Right.
I wish I would have been out there, watched all the videos, and I wish I would have tried to blend those styles a little better. I wish I would have had the discipline, I guess. And work ethic comes out of, or discipline comes out of work ethic, I think, honestly. So if you're working at it hard enough and you got, a good thought process about it, I think you can go out there and you can get it down.
Right.
It's up to you. If you're working hard and you're putting it in the right direction, then I think there's only one way to go. It's up, getting better.
Yeah, it's a skill.
So it's all kind of boils down to how hard you want to work at it.
Right. So now, what are some ways that you try to apply yourself and kind of maximize your days and maximize whatever you want to get at from now where you're at now that you learn like, hey, this was I kind of did it wrong, or I needed to improve on this.
Right.
What's been some big adjustments you've made?
Well, slowing down was the biggest, and a while back is when I kind of caught that, and obviously it's never just in time, but I feel like to where I feel right now, I feel like it was in time. So now, I'm still working at it. I'm still, I don't rope the dummy as much as I should, but I need to get back on the dummy in the arena. Need to be riding those horses more often, but at the same time, I'm really confident in what I've got going. So I try not to really dwell on that.
Right.
I don't want to just keep just hounding on it. If I've got it, I try to leave it alone. Like I like where it's at right now, and I still work at it, and there's always ways to make it better, but I'm trying to figure out ways to make it better instead of trying to get so sharp on one thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you can oversharpen the knife.
Oh man, it's crazy. And that goes back into, catching the loper. Like if you're too sharp, you're gonna make a mistake.
Too much on go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so understanding like managing the days as much as you can and knowing like, hey, there's times where I need to do more
Absolutely.
of slow work, or I need to do more of this, or understanding, if you need to get more practice rounds, is get on a practice horse and run them
Right.
and kind of balance those two out between just running a lot of steers and kind of going
Man,
at them.
there's definitely a time where you need to run more to work on it and figure it out, and but then there's times where, quality over quantity. I've that Tanner James, he lives in the house, and he will run them. If anyone brings horses, he will literally run them.
Right.
Until no one wants to rope anymore. And I'm like, okay, so what are you working on? And he's like, I'm just turning cows. I'm like, come on, man. You know, like, you've got some nice horses, work on it, you know. And so he's done a really good job of slowing that down, but he does have practice horses now to where he can run them until no one wants to run them anymore. You
right.
know, and when he needs to work on something, he buckles down. Same with me. Like, I don't like to run a ton of steers a day. I'd rather run better ones. Like, I'd rather run a quality steer.
Yeah.
Than run 50, you know. I'd rather set it up, and if everything's feeling good, you know, then I tell these guys all the time, I'm like, the best thing you can hear is that it's you making a mistake, because you can fix that on the dummy. If your horse is working good and it feels good and he feels like he's not taking your throw away or not costing you anything, I don't really see just a huge need to keep running them.
Right. You're just getting it to the point where your horses feel they're comfortable, right. They're working for you good, and then it's all on you, you know.
Absolutely.
And then if you need to make adjustments, if there's something off with your swing or whatever it is, you just tweak on it and you're good to go.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like you can. I try to keep it down to the mechanics as far as that. I try to keep it simple, you know. I don't want to just keep running them. If everything feels good, I don't need to keep just running them.
Right.
You know, I'd rather put my horses up and let them have the day and keep them feeling good, you know.
So when you talk about taking something specific, Amy, you mentioned earlier, like, you'll run a lot of steers in your mind, right?
Mm-hmm. Mental reps.
mental reps. And is that something, like, when you practice, let's say you've been running them mentally, do you know when it's feeling good, like, before you even go to the practice pin? Like, does your mind, like, so for example, like, you visualize a run and it goes good.
Right.
Do you have times where you visualize runs and it doesn't go good?
No.
You see it, you just get it, like,
that's the positivity of it. And I try to be real about it, and I base it all on what my horses felt like coming up to it. And if there's something I need worked on, you know, I'll visualize making the adjustment first. You know, before I'll run that steer and make the adjustment in my head, and before we ever get to the practice pin, you know what I mean? But it's all based on kind of prior, what it's all felt like.
Right.
Coming into the practice session.
Yeah. That's a strong word when you go to visualizing, I think, is feel. If you can visualize it, but you can feel it as well, like with your swing or whatever it is, it just seems like the practices they're so clear. And it's like, we get to that spot where it doesn't feel like it's almost like slower happening. Like, it's not like it's in slow motion almost. Oh,
for sure. That's the mental clock, man. You slow that down and it literally feels like slow motion. Like, you make those fast runs, but like, you can, when you hit the corner and it's all like crunch time, when you're watching the video, yeah, you're going fast. Like,
right.
There's no room for error, it looks like. But in our mind, it's slowing down, and you can kind of see where it's going, see how the run's shaping up. You can see what's going to happen basically before it happens. But I think you have a lot more time to adjust, you know, than people think.
Right. Yeah, and it's a weird feeling sometimes when it happens, because it's like, for me, when it happens healing, it's like, did I just, like, stall my rope? Did I just hang me a big old floater out there?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll watch it back. And I'll know the difference. Like, if I heal one and it comes back to the horn good and it's like a big finish and it's like, it's a good run, as opposed to like an actual floater where it's hard to dally, the steer's really jumping away. The difference in those two feels is huge, but in my mind, it feels the same. It's almost like that last swing is just slow and just everything. It's and I call that like a flow state, or getting in, like, you're kind of your whatever, you know, whatever you want to call it. But when you hit that point, it's really hard to duplicate.
Oh, man.
And I think that is one of the keys to being able to almost like lock it in, when it's like when it's crunch time and you know you've got outside things like it's short round or it's a big rodeo or a short round at a big rodeo, you know, you've got all these things running through your mind, and if you can get to that spot where you can feel it before it happens, you can see it clearly, it really increases the odds of you being in that where everything just feels
setting it up. Yeah, you know, that's the hardest thing to do in crunch time. You know, I'm aggressive when it comes to roping. Like, I want to be there when it happens. I want to shut the run down fast.
Yeah.
You know, and I've spent my whole career trying to do that, but that's where the discipline in setting the run up is so detrimental. Like, if you don't set it up, or if you don't set it up the right way, it's living or dying in the roping. It's staying in it or getting ahead or just getting by the bad one, you know, because most times you're going to draw the one that might take you out. And if you just get by him, you allow yourself a chance. You know, you're still in it. So, and like, setting it up so huge. And I'm a big believer in, like, there's a tool for every job, like stalling your rope. You know, if you get there and you need to throw, you need to shut the run down. And if you have to stall to get back in time or whatever, you know, as long as it doesn't become a habit, you know, I think that that can be necessary in a situation. So I don't really write that stuff off, but I think there's steps you could have taken in your setup before, there's going to be times where you're going to have to.
Yeah. You're not looking to use that tool. Exactly. It's just there if you need it.
Exactly.
And yeah. And I think that's where, like, it's just building the skill set, you know, and being able to react. And that's also where it's like, hey, I want to get kind of away from those things and what caused that to happen. Exactly. So I can create more of a, you know, that consistency with through the positioning, stuff like that. So what's the biggest piece of advice is like, just like really hit hard for you that you've got, you know, has there been one of those talks where it's like, man, I need to change some things, or just one of those deals that flipped a switch for you?
Man, not necessarily. I don't feel like there's just been one thing. I've been around, like, I try to surround myself with the best guys, you know.
Yeah.
Since I've been out here, iron sharpens iron. So if you're out here and you're rubbing shoulders with these guys, you're going to pick stuff up, you know, you're going to get sharp and you don't even know it, you know. And, you know, I study the guys that are winning and the guys that aren't, and why they're winning and why guys aren't, you know. And that's kind of where the mental reps, you know, that's where I look at that. But I don't know if there was just one. I've gotten a lot of information because I like to talk. Yeah. I like to BS with the guys. I'm always talking, and they might not even know it, but I'm picking their brain. You know, I even paid in yesterday. I'm always, you know, just trying to figure them out, or trying to, if I've got a real question, you can ask it. You know, if you surround yourself with those kind of guys, you can ask those questions, and whatever you need, whatever information you need, it's here. You can figure it out by watching or asking or whatever. So I don't know if there was just one little piece of information, but it's a lot of studying the right guys, I feel like.
Yeah. Being around them, it's weird because you think about it, and when you initially have that happen, I think some people might be intimidated or whatever it is, or they're worried that they'll, like, I would say if you got down to the root of it, is being exposed.
Oh, man.
And just huge, and it's a big fear. Like, no one wants to be dominated and be around someone that's way better than them. Right. It's something they pride themselves at being good at. Yeah. And, but at the same time, it's really not like that at all once you get in it, right? No, like, when you're around those guys, it's
awesome, man.
Yeah.
I love it. And I idolized a lot of these guys I still idolize them, but I've done it for a long time. But now, you know, when I first came out here, I felt like I was trying to prove something, and that was the wrong way.
Yeah.
That was so far from what I needed to do. You know, I needed to come out here and be a sponge and just soak it all up. You know, these guys, every time they make a run, they might not even look at you or talk to you, but you learned something.
Right.
You know what I mean? You saw it. And if you can channel that the right way, there's information.
Yeah. Well, that's strong because if you're saying, "Hey, I needed to prove something," it's, and I get
It's
it. I
so
want
hard.
to, well, and you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Exactly. You
And
put it the wrong way. Like I was trying to be so aggressive when I first came out here. I wanted to prove that I felt like I had a spot. I wanted to prove to them that I could be out here and I could hold my own, right?
yeah.
Well, there's these guys that are slowing it down, and then there's one 19-year-old kid that's running his good horse by the corner, throwing over the left side of their neck and thinking, "Yeah,
Yeah.
I just did something." These guys are all rolling their eyes. They're like, "We got another one,
Yeah.
another kid showing up." But there's so much to being able to not come out here and try to prove it. Like, don't come out here trying to earn your spot, like prove it and take your spot, I guess I should say. You need to come out here and earn it. Like, just come out here and put in the work and soak up the information, because these guys are going to teach you a lot, even though they might not say anything. They might even come say hi. Some of the nicest guys in the world are the best guys,
Yeah.
So they'll just come conversate, and being around them, just, I always use this term, like, just breathe the air around them and you're gonna get better. Like, you got to be here rubbing shoulders with them, I feel
Right.
like.
Well, and don't do it to prove that you belong, because then
Right.
you're tying you healing steers with your actual like self-worth.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And then that's a mental side.
Oh.
That was huge for my mental. Like, there was a time at Chad's where, like, I was wanting to be done. Like,
Yeah.
totally contemplate. I had a conversation with my dad, and he's like, "How bad do you want it?" I'm like, "Bad, but I don't feel like I belong out here right now."
Right.
And that's when he kind of was telling me, he's like, "You're going about it all wrong. Just learn, like, soak it up. Quit trying so hard to prove that you're one of them. Just learn from them. You will be if you stay hooked and keep going through the motions and learning, But you're not gonna ever get that far if you burn yourself out like that. You're gonna want to be done. It's so hard. It's a game of failure. Roping is like, you're not gonna catch every steer. You're not gonna win at every jackpot. But it's channeling the good ones and learning from the best or whatever, And that's how you kind of it goes back into confidence and the mental side, staying hooked.
Yeah, and do you try to find like a, I would call it like an just an enjoyment of the process? Because when I hear that, I think of things like my mind goes to, well, I got these horses. I mean,
Right.
if I'm lucky, I'm gonna have. I mean, if I like my one bay, I started rodeoing on him when he was 5 years old. Maybe I get him for 15 years, and you're like, well, you should enjoy that time
Oh,
with
for
that
sure.
horse, enjoy that time in the actual process of improving yourself, improving that on the horse. And then you get all these little battles within like, man, I took this horse from this spot to now I'm competing on him here, and he's
Right.
working like this. And then it's like you're winning all the time is what it starts to feel like. Or you're like, and even if you don't, it's not tied to actual results of the roping,
It's
it's
hard.
tied to like,
Don't get materialistic about it.
yeah, you.
Just know that you've come a long way. You've built this. You've built your own empire, kind of. You know what I
Yeah,
mean? If that
your
makes
body
sense.
of work, like you're, it's something you work for. It's your life's work, is
Yeah,
what it
and
is. Yeah.
it's way easier to stay positive if you don't get materialistic about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there's just it's you're doing it for the right reasons, right?
Exactly.
You're
It's
out
the good
here,
fight.
yeah, because you're out here, and then it's like, well, when you're in August, which, hey, that there's been a few times where you stayed out, right? I mean, you do you ever go home?
I did. I did. I went home, gosh, 2 years ago. And then last year, I think we called it.
Right.
And I just kind of learned that. Like, I used to be like, I was going to keep my head down and keep trying.
Finish it.
Yeah, finish what I started.
Yeah.
And there's times where it's going to feel impossible. And you can go into the sponsor side of it, everything, but these guys help you and they want to see you do good. And then I felt like, man, if I go home right now, I'm letting everybody down.
Right.
You know what I mean? I've never wanted to be, I never wanted to quit. And I don't feel like now, I don't feel like it's quit. And I feel like you can be a little smarter with your financials. Like, don't run yourself. If you don't got the horsepower right now, or if you need to go home and make adjustments, do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's what a lot of people say that, and I'm guilty. I'll quit, I guess, or how you want to say
I
it.
Hate that. I hate that word.
I do too, but I'll stop rodeoing at some point when I'm not roping for anything. I don't know what I'm roping for. I have to go home and figure out what I'm doing.
Exactly.
And but also, when I look at it, I'm playing such a long game. I don't really care about what happens in the next 6 months. I'm trying to set up the next 6 years.
Right.
And that's how I look at it, is I'm like, well, I'm doing other things as well with this, so I got to be real long term with my roping.
Right.
And I think that's where it's like, if you can understand that, like if I can go home and it's not like I'm not turning Madden on and
Right.
playing some
No,
PlayStation, like
exactly.
I'm
That's when you hit it the hardest.
yeah, you like you've got tape, you've got 30, 40 rodeos on your belt, you know, you've been exposed
It's fresh.
yeah, and it hurts still, and you kind of right, this is what I need to
Still
work
got
on.
that bruise on your butt from where they kicked it all over all summer.
Yeah, from when they've been stepping on your throat all summer long. And I think that's there's a lot to that. But there's also other things that I think I've finished it as well, and it's really hard to finish that. That last 3 or 4 weeks of rodeoing is you get to answer some questions to yourself that you never
Oh
thought you'd
man.
ask,
Man,
right?
some of those truck rides,
Yeah.
where you're sitting in the cab of the truck and you got
Oh, having
16
nightmares.
hours and you're just like, your partner's sitting right there next to you and you
Yeah.
feel like you haven't done your job, let's say. And it feels like they're so far away from you. And
Yeah.
they're touching elbows on the center console, you know, but you're like, can't even find the words to say. And, you know, I had a conversation my very first year with Chad Masters, and we talked about, you know, I was like, man, I don't know, do I stay out? I don't know what to do right now, you
Yeah.
know? And he's like, well, if you can do it, you got to prove, you know, that you're out here to do it. You know, you're committed.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta earn your stripes. You gotta show up and be there and keep your freaking head down.
Yeah.
You can't, if it gets tough, you can't be the guy that pulls up. But at the same time, at the same token, you know, now I've gotten to a point where I feel like if people don't think that I'm committed, then that's on them. I know that I'm committed, you know.
Right.
And it was just as much for myself as it was for my partner. And I probably think of that way too much. Like, as far as your relationship goes with your partner, like, I'm like, at first I was like, I'm gonna be here no matter what. If this guy keeps putting us down, I'm going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then it got to, I started to realize, I'm like, man, if I need to go home, or if I need to figure something else out, then I'm hurting this guy.
Yeah.
If I'm not all the way committed or all the way, you know, into it right there and doing what I need to do, or doing my job, even if we're getting down to the mechanics of it. If I'm not doing my job, I don't want to run this guy ragged.
Yeah.
He's depending on me to show up and do my job. And if I'm not doing it, I need to let him get somebody or let him go home, and it's going to save everybody in the long run. There's a lot of different ways you can go about it, but if you can stay out, do it. You know,
Right.
keep pinning your ears and keep your head down, stay hooked, because a lot of guys are gonna notice that, and you're gonna it'll be good for yourself, it'll be good for your mentals, because you're gonna win. You really are. You're gonna figure it out. You're gonna duck off. You're gonna go to rodeos. Yeah, maybe don't go to all the rodeos that all the big guys are over there just hammering on. You know, go find you a different area. Go to some amateur rodeos. Go find some jackpots. Go run a ton of steers in a practice bin. You know, whatever you got to do. But it's, man, it's all in the way you look at it. But that's kind of where I felt like, at first I felt like I needed to stay hooked for myself, and then now I feel like it's necessary. If I need to go home, then it's necessary.
Yeah, because it's it's long term. You're not quitting, right? You're literally just reloading the gun.
Exactly.
You know, you're trying to figure out a different plan of attack because the one you have doesn't make sense or isn't working or whatever it is. Yeah, but I think then finishing the job. Mm. I think it's a big thing that almost everyone needs to do first. I would suggest that going to all of them, and then they know, hey, this is what it's really like.
For sure. These guys, they give respect to those guys that they see somebody working at it hard and they see someone staying hooked. Yeah, it's been a tough road. Everyone's had tough summers, you know, and that's what it's hard to understand right off the bat. All you see is the top 15. You see these guys that just keep winning and winning and winning, and they're having a dream summer, right? And you're like, man, I wish I could have that. Well, they were sitting there in the truck at some point, like, you know, I don't know if I should go home. I don't know if I need new horses. I don't know. You know, they've been through it.
Yeah. I did a podcast with Walt. Yesterday I did a podcast with Walt, and he's like, he's talking about the year he won the world. Yeah. And he's like, right after the NFR, he had planned to go to Hawaii with his wife and family. And he said, we do the champions breakfast the next morning after he'd won the world. And he's like, the next day when we're in Hawaii, I stayed in bed for 2 days. I was so tired and drained. And you're like, that guy did the best. He won. Yeah. That's the world champion.
He was beat up the most.
And he feels that way. So, you know, I don't think there's any way out of that.
Right.
You know, there's going to be some luxuries on the way.
Oh, man.
But it's really more or less your mindset. And
for sure.
You got to
enjoy the moment, man.
Yeah.
Because it's work and it's a grind. And they are going to beat you up. You know, that's so cool you did that and he said that, because people really, they see it as all, you know, roses and gold buckles and all the fame, you know, but I feel like those are the guys that got hit the hardest.
Yeah.
All year long, but they kept getting back up. They gritted their teeth, you know, and then he deserves to treat himself, you know, like go sleep, go rest. You know, gosh dang, you know, you want to clap for the guy because that is, he did it. He took the most beatings and got up the most times, seems like, you know.
Yeah, and it just, I mean, if you've rodeoed the whole summer,
right,
at the end of whenever you're done rodeoing and you go back home, you're tired. I think those are important things, is you got to understand like how to manage your burnouts and how to make sure, but
confidence and all that.
Yep. And then the other thing is you get to ask yourself these important questions, like, is this what I want to do?
Oh man, that is, that is the number one question. And like, for me, I try not to ever get to that question because obviously this is what I've planned my life around. You know what I mean? I've planned for the long haul. So I'm really, everyone asks it, but no one ever wants to admit it. You know, everyone's has that moment where it's like, man, you know, the easy door is over here. And then there's staying hooked and finishing it and then, you know, keep moving forward. But I think everybody out here kind of has that fight. You know, they're going to stay hooked if they can. They're going to do whatever it takes. They're going to go home and build 30 halters and sell them, you know.
Right,
Or whatever.
Yeah, you kind of got to figure out your deal. And I always do this. I always, if I'm excited driving to the roping or driving to the rodeo and I'm like, you know, if I'm still, like, I'm kind of craving it, then I'm like, all right, that's when I know I'm good. And you know, I've been able to do that both ways in August.
How do you recreate that though?
The excitement for it?
Well, yes, but like the excitement's a good word, but I feel like, you know, it's really easy to do that going into the summer or when you're winning.
Reno. Everyone can drive to Reno. Easy.
But then the guys that are winning, it's like, I'll drive.
Oh yeah.
You know, and then you're not winning and it's just like, you know, do we really want to go all the way over here? Maybe we stay here, we go to the next one that's right down the road, you know.
Yeah. But
it's how do you recreate that excitement? That's one of the bigger battles all summer. Is how do you, if it's not going good, how do you recreate that excitement? Because that might mean turning your summer around.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, and yeah, having that desire. And I think that's because there's like these phases when you're rodeoing, right? Like Reno, everyone's so excited. But then those 10 days are so wild that you, it's up and down for you.
Oh, man.
But really, it's moving so fast that you don't have enough time to think about it. And there's like all this, there's all this opportunity still. And then it's the same way. Even if you haven't done good, you got Cheyenne coming up, you know, it might be different now. Cheyenne. I don't know if everyone's excited about Cheyenne. If they run it like a,
I honestly, style, this is probably bad, but I haven't even looked at it, but I know my partner has,
yeah.
And he hasn't mentioned anything to me about it yet, but like, I try to say a little more in the moment, you know, I have that luxury. My partner's entering.
Right.
Know? So where now I'm like, I'm just trying to make sure all my ducks are in a row, trying to make sure I got everything geared up to go. And man, that having those big rodeos, they kind of feel like a safety net coming up. Like if you have a bad week at Reno, you're like, still got a chance.
Oh yeah, we got Greeley tomorrow. Yeah,
we're good. Yeah. And that's, you can channel that in so many different ways. And that's what I love about it. I feel like the guys that make it, and I feel like they've channeled it better.
Yeah.
You know, they've put all those thoughts into the right direction. You know what I mean? And they've figured their way out. But, you know, I love recreating that. You know, when you leave Reno, like, don't forget that you get a chance that night again to run another steer, to turn your summer around, or the next morning, or the next day, or the next week, we're going to run five more, you know? If you can stay positive enough, I believe you can turn your summer around at some point, you know? It's tough, man.
Yeah, you've got to have this optimism too, right. And there's other things like, well, like you've got experience. You won Reno, right?
Right.
And so you've like, that's a huge, what was it, probably like 12,000 out of Reno, 12,000, 15,000, or
yeah. I think we won 10,000,
10,000,
something like that.
Yeah, that sounds.
Still a huge hit.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
going into the summer, man. And up until then, I never want to check a Reno.
Right.
It's one of those. You can't afford to not be entered because you're gonna run three. If you do your job well on three, you're going to get paid a lot.
Yep.
You know, so, man.
Well, and you know how long those go. I mean, that can get you through the next 2-3 weeks. So, so it feels good. You know, you've got
momentum,
that.
Momentum, man.
Yeah.
That's one of those where you're like, I'll drive.
Mm-hmm.
Let me drive. I'm ready. And you don't need to get the Red Bull or the coffee, you know.
Yeah.
You're like, you're so excited when you get to the next one. You're like, I don't even need to sleep.
I'm doing it. Yeah. And I think that's, at the end of the day, with all of this sport, there's so many ways to go about it. But if your actual desire is to make the NFR, be it like a guy that is capable of doing that on a year in a year out basis, you've got to be able to understand highs and lows, managing your emotions, and then
huge.
And then acting like a winner,
right?
When you're exhausted and you're not winning, and you've got to kind of dig within to do that, right?
Right. And there's so much out there. We're in the age of information where guys, you can find inspiration, you can be motivated,
yeah,
you know. And but there, it's also got to come in from inside too, though. You know, it can be fake when it's easy for that person on your phone to be telling you to be motivated and helping you try to bring it out of yourself, but if you don't want to let it out, you won't.
Yeah.
So you've kind of got to keep moving forward and keep all that positivity and optimism. And you got to know what you've done coming up to it. That's kind of, I'm looping back around, but if you know what you've done and you keep that in your head instead of what just happened,
yeah,
I feel like it's easier to keep moving forward and keep that confidence, knowing your ability.
That desire, you know, the desire to do it and know that this is what you're supposed to be doing.
You know.
And I think that's it, is those guys with that real high level of it, they keep going and they keep working at it, and they just work at it the ways that make sense to them. Mm-hmm. And they can always answer the tough questions. You know, they can be like, well, you know, whatever it is, why are you doing what you're doing?
Yeah.
And you know, like, hey, this is,
there's no, what there's else no same do? Answer. You know, there's,
yeah.
everyone does it different.
Yeah.
You know what it takes for you to be motivated.
Right.
You know, and when you're out there and when it gets tough, you got to know how to bring that out of you. You know, like I've never let it be a question
right.
for me. You know, I've always just like, this is what we're here. This is what we're doing. You know, even if it gets tough, stay hooked, stay out, keep your head down, keep giving yourself the opportunity to win because it's going to show up.
Yeah. This is what we're here. This
yes.
is what we're doing. We've worked, you know,
yep.
we believe in it. And that's the mindset.
Exactly.
And it's the mindset
mm-hmm.
all year. Right.
You're a warrior, man.
Yeah.
I've always, it's kind of probably corny, but I've always thought about it like that. Like, you're a warrior. Like, you've got to be, there's somebody out there that wants it just as bad
yeah.
or worse. And are you willing to keep fighting for it and to keep working at it, you know? And that's kind of, I mean, you can link all this stuff together with work ethic and everything like that, but a lot of it comes into positivity too, man.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a warrior out there, they don't have, there's not a doubt creeping in. You know, they are, at least in my mind, I think of a warrior, and I think if there's a warrior that's half-hearted, he probably shouldn't be out there.
Yeah,
you know,
he ain't gonna last long.
No, I feel like the guys that don't even leave it to a question, like, this is the way we're going, and there's no other way. Like, we're getting better. We're gonna win. You know, we're gonna go, and we're gonna go put it together and make a lot of good runs. You know, we've had that conversation. We've been on the phone hyping each other up. You know, before the summer. You know. We're going to go catch a lot of steers. We're going to go do our best. We're going to try to make it, you know, feels good, everything, right?
Yeah.
You know, but it's recreating that, like going into the summer or halfway through the summer or whatever. That's crazy to think about, but.
Oh, no, it is. I don't know if it's crazy. It's a warrior's mentality or like that. There's no safety net or there's no option.
No,
there's
turn
no
back.
Second door. This is what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can put yourself in that spot and that's your desire, you know, you can answer that question to yourself.
Mm.
No, no problem. Like, hey, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
I'm not doing anything else.
Exactly.
And yeah.
Even if we do back off, like even like I went home or whatever, you still know that you're going to go back at it.
Yeah. You're just.
You know?
You're just reloading.
Yeah.
You're
just
reloading.
That's a perfect analogy. Reloading the gun.
Yeah.
Going and getting more ammo.
You yeah.
know? You're looping back around. You're just regrouping. And you're going to hit it harder next time.
Yep.
But in the end, we know there's no other way. This is what we're going to do. Everyone's got those dreams. And that's what we're doing. We've dreamed of this for forever, since we were little kids. You know, everyone's got the goals. Everyone wants to win more world titles than anybody else. You know?
Yeah. And well, and I think that's, you know, the older I get, the more I think about it, what's the meaning of life.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
and there's a lot of things that you can do and be happy with. And a lot of people, you can get out there and play it safe
mm-hmm.
and safe to some people is going to be defined. And, you know, to a guy that's rodeoing, they're not playing it safe.
No, nope.
It doesn't, they've chosen something that's, you know, it's kind of a dream. It's kind
mm-hmm.
of this, you know,
mm-hmm.
this thing, this little kid in him wanted to do and
right.
try to accomplish that. So, well, man, I appreciate you coming out here.
Okay.
This has been, you know, we've talked about it for a long time.
I know. We just never have put it together. No, it's awesome to be here, man. I've wanted to come do it.
Well, thanks again and good luck this summer.
Thanks, dude.